Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Surprise Jab Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Ruger, surprising you with new topics every single week and jabbing you with your daily dose of UFC. But we have no UFC today, as we are joined by one of our favorite guests of the podcast, the one and only Mr. Dane DuPaul. Dane, welcome back to the podcast.
I love coming back. It's great.
Absolutely amazing. Dane, give the people a little intro about yourself for anyone who hasn't seen your past two episodes.
Oh, cool. My name is Dane DuPaul. Actually, my younger brother is Zach's roommate, so we've kind of had a lifelong connection there, probably most of our lives through one connection or another. I'm going to graduate from the University of North Dakota in about a month, so that's exciting. That's me.
Absolutely. Dane, aviation major. Very impressive. Very, very impressive. Well, we have an absolutely jam-packed episode today. Dane actually reached out to me saying, hey, you know, the NFL draft's coming up. I'm your NFL expert. Get me on the podcast. I was like, I have to have you on. I have to have you on. But it's a Surprise Jab podcast. We got other surprises along the way. So you ready to get into this, Dane?
I'm ready.
Absolutely. Well, kicking us off, the last, I wouldn't even say month, I'd say last 3 weeks, 2 weeks, has been all about March Madness. How did your brackets go, and did you have any thoughts on the Final Four?
Well, as our group chat has been pointing out, I did win one of the contests, and so big fan of that. It was my probably second one I wanted to win. The other one had like 30 people. And it would have been great if I would have won that one. And I was in position to, if anything but UConn won, I was in good position to at least cash some money. But, with UConn winning, it like just threw me down to 13th place. It was not ideal. So rooting for upsets, usually pretty fun, especially when it comes to the, end game of March Madness. Last 2 years hasn't been too great with that. UConn's kind of run everyone over.
Yeah, absolutely insane. What was it? How many was it 10 games they won, or was it 8 games they won straight in March Madness of double-digit wins? I mean, absolutely, absolutely crazy. And they just blow out Purdue in the finale. And Zach Purdy scores, Zach Edey scores. What was it like? 40%, almost 50%, maybe even more. I think he scored over 50% of the team's points in the championship, which that's not going to cut it.
Yeah.
No, not well.
Yeah. I heard a little take earlier today. It was kind of true. Like Purdue went to like 1960s basketball where they shot like a total of 7 3-pointers and only made one of them. You don't win D1 basketball like that. Granted, you probably have one of the bigger big men in college basketball, still can't win games constantly feeding the guy who doesn't take a break and you have no one else around him.
No, he's playing 40 minutes every single game. I don't even know if they might have taken him out when they blew out Grambling State round one. But other than that, I mean, he played every single minute in the Final Four.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm fortunate that NC State didn't win. I think they were the only underdog in the Final Four. DJ Burns, so entertaining. But, I mean, Alabama, I could have cared less if Alabama won. I mean, they're football school as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, again, towards the end, I was just rooting for anyone but UConn to try and win some money. So, what are you going to do?
Did you watch a lot of the games?
I watched both of the Final Four games. I like probably 75% of both of them combined. The final I watched maybe like the first 5 minutes coming out of the half, watched Purdue go on like a 7-0 run UConn go on a 7-0 yeah. run against Purdue. And I was like, yeah, we're going to leave it at that.
Absolutely. Do you have a particular game from the whole tournament, which was maybe your favorite? I know for me personally, Oregon took on Creighton and I think it was the Sweet 16 and it went to double overtime, and that was probably the most entertaining game you got in March Madness.
That was my, like, I don't know when I was making my brackets, what I had, but I had for some reason Oregon going like another round after that, after they beat Creighton. So I was watching that one pretty intently, and I forgot what the dude's name is that went crazy those two tournament games. He dropped like 40 points each game.
He scored like all their points in the first half in like, that game. Yeah.
He was crazy. So I was up pretty late because I think that was one of the later starting games. I was up pretty late getting pretty hyped about that one. And that was probably my favorite one of this tournament.
Agreeable. Some of the other moments I can think of is UConn's 30-0 run to open the second half versus Illinois. That's just unheard of. You rarely see that in basketball, especially that high level.
Yeah, I think when people were talking about it was a record, which then you look and I think the Mavericks went on like a 35-point run this year in the NBA. So, I mean, it happens, but it's kind of crazy when you see it in one of the biggest stages of sports.
Yes, yes. And 14th seed Oakland, their upset of Kentucky, biggest upset of the tournament easily. And how about Jack Golke getting all of his NLI deals after just seemingly going off for one or two games? I mean, that's just it's just crazy to see.
That was a bracket buster for sure. That one had a long shot of Kentucky winning it all. So that bracket died real quick.
Yeah. The good news is, though, is the majority of UConn's going to graduate or go a lot to the NBA draft, I think. Klingon, their center, he's only a sophomore. I found that out. I thought he was much older. But Zach Edey, he'll be going to the draft. So I think next year, maybe some more upsets. I'm hoping.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, as much as I really have kind of distanced myself from Gopher sports, the basketball team is one I kind of like pay attention to. And it just kind of stinks because they were really bad last year. And then this year they got some players and started to be pretty good. And they were like one of those borderline NIT March Madness teams that towards the end of the year just kind of collapsed. But now all of their players have now either gone transfer portal and I think getting drafted. So it's kind of unfortunate that it's going to be an uphill battle to see any sort of Gopher team in March Madness anytime soon.
I completely agree. And I know for me as a Minnesota State Maverick, I mean, we ran Division II basketball this year, but unfortunately, you know, we don't get as much national recognition as the D1. So if there's any Minnesota team I can root for, it's the U. I think that's the only Division I team we have.
Yeah. I don't know much about Mankato sports. So I can't.
And I don't blame you. Does UND have a basketball team at all?
They do. They, again, were what I think they needed to win their conference tournament. And I think they lost in the second round to, it was one of the, it may have been Oral Roberts or James Madison or one of those schools. Was it NDSU that made, or South Dakota, they made the tournament. Mm-hmm. If UND would have won their conference, they would have been in that spot.
Oh my gosh, they're D1 for basketball.
Yeah.
I did not. I thought they were D2 for some reason.
It was actually the year that Zion Williamson and Duke was in the tournament. NDSU played them in the first round. We lost to NDSU in the conference tournament. So we lost the honor of getting our butt spanked by Zion Williamson.
Absolutely right. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, I was actually at that Final Four. That was a great tournament, 2019. I love that tournament. All righty, we'll move on from college hoops. As we know, the professional hoops, the NBA, is winding to a close. What have been your thoughts on the season from what you've caught? I'm sure you've caught as much as I do. I mean, for all the podcast listeners, we only check in once a week, once on our Thursday episodes at the standings. But I mean, as for us, Timberwolves, best team in the West at the moment.
Yeah, I'm not going to pretend I've been a lifelong Timberwolves fan. I've kind of been a fair weather fan. I've only started watching them in the last 5-6 years when they started to be not
terrible.
Yeah. I'm not going to pretend that I was there through all the struggles. But watching this year, this was the first year I, you know, bought the TV package and watched. I've watched probably 90-ish% of the games. And I've been able to pop on because usually I just have them on in the background here when I'm like playing Xbox or doing homework or something. I'll just have the game on. So I've seen most of the big plays. Anthony Edwards obviously becoming the leader of this team, kind of taking the reins from Kat as Kat's kind of stepped aside, which he's probably coming back. So that's a huge push for the playoffs that this team desperately needs. Yeah, when the offense goes stale and Ant isn't producing, we definitely need that second guy shooter to come in there and make plays.
I mean, oddly enough, in the whole league, I mean, especially the East, the Celtics are the most dominant team in the NBA, and I almost get the vibe they won't make it past round one or two. I mean, they just strike me as a team. I remember the Titans one year in the NFL got the one seed and then lost in their first divisional game. You remember that game, whoever they're playing?
Yes, it was either the Bengals or the Ravens. It was one of those two teams. It may have been the Bengals Super Bowl run year where they beat them. It was like one of those weird like 15-9 scoring games. It was yeah. Not an entertaining game, but yeah. I don't know. I kind of the Celtics have been pretty dominant. Timberwolves have played them really well when we've played them. So we'll see. They've won, 63 games though? So they're not like some pushover that everyone's going to walk over when they play them. So maybe in the finals if we're getting a little ambitious here, but I don't know. We'll see.
No, I saw some that they're like 31-8 at home, which is absolutely insane. They don't even have, like, if you're a season ticket holder, I mean, that's what's up. If your team's only losing 8 games a whole season at home, I wish actually, yeah. Timberwolves weren't too bad at home. We've been pretty good at home.
Yeah, I actually pulled we have for the longest time, we had lost like one game at home all year. Actually, I have it. We're 28-10. So it's not too bad at all. Yeah.
And I mean, I think when we last spoke in 2023. I mean, it's been a while, but I think we were talking about how did you mention the Nuggets might, like, we thought they were going to repeat or something like that? Did we say something like
that?
I mean,
I think we were just talking about like our thoughts of them winning, and it was kind of like, oh yeah, you got the Joker. It's kind of, that really helps your chances when the dude averages like high triple doubles every single time he steps on the court. So do with that as you will. Luckily, we have the tiebreaker over them. So of the 4 games we have left, we play them once. So that's kind of our battle for the one seed if we win out. Let's hope that happens. It'd be really cool to see a Minnesota team as a one seed for, I don't even, for any sport when that's last been the case.
Yeah, for the West, I mean, obviously the top 3 teams are us, the Nuggets, and the Thunder. And I honestly don't know which one of us 3, because I think it's going to be one of those 3 teams is going to win the West and go to the NBA Finals, because Timberwolves, I mean, we have a Minnesota curse. We have a curse here in Minnesota where we just cannot win. Thunder, I think, are too inexperienced in the playoffs. I mean, they're talented, but they're too young. And Nuggets, I mean, I just don't, they don't really strike me as a repeat team to like win it again, but they could. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I mean, honestly, I feel like we, of those 3, granted, like you were kind of saying, Oklahoma City is super young. Denver's as solid as they're ever going to be. We just put, we, even last year when we, whatever, went 1-4 against them in the first round, we played them really well. And they, I mean, take it as a grain of salt for what it is. But even Denver was like, oh, the best team that played us the hardest was the Timberwolves. I'm honestly more scared about like the Phoenixes, the Dallas, even Sacramento. Yeah. Kind of those 3 teams for me. I mean, we even just saw it, what, like 6 days ago when we played Phoenix and they ran us out of the gym.
Blew us out. I was like, what?
Yeah. So some of those teams, if they get hot, they get hot. I mean, say what you will, and obviously they've fallen off a cliff, but Golden State, as long as Steph is in the lineup, it's kind of, granted Draymond may have something wrong with him, but
yeah, I don't know. And I think it's going to either be them or the Lakers if we get the one seed. So, I mean, I don't know if I'd prefer dropping down to the 3 spot or even the 2 spot. I don't know, but this is the final week. And we're actually in our little 4-person fantasy basketball championship, which I find absolutely hilarious that we've just had that word, the championship. It's competitive, man. It's coming down to the wire.
It is. I actually checked on it like a week ago and saw that I was in the championship game, and I actually like started setting my lineup because I had not paid attention like throughout the first round of the playoffs. I was like, oh crap, I better actually start setting it to try and win. So maybe I'll get the upset against the guy who scored like 30,000 points this year. We'll see.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a 4-man. I had a bunch of players. I don't even understand how the rankings work. So I'll click on a player and it'll say they're fourth for their position. I'll click on another player, they're ranked number four, but their points aren't the same. I'm like, I don't understand this. I'll come back for fantasy football when I actually know what's going on. But, yeah, any final thoughts for the NBA? Like I said, actually for the East, we'll give our East thoughts. I mean, Celtics are probably like the favorite, I would assume. But if I could pick an oddball, I mean, maybe the Bucks, because they got Damian Lillard and Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yeah, you know, just for S's and G's, we're going to Orlando Magic, play the song. That's would be my
exactly what the TikTok, right? That's
yeah, it's their whole social, media. Every time they win a game, it was like the light the beam for or light the beacon or whatever it was for the Kings last year. It's they just play their old school Orlando Magic song, and I think it's super funny.
Absolutely. NBA, you know, it's better than it was, I think, in the past few years, but that's probably just because we're Timberwolves fans, but. So we got for NBA talk today, and you know, we're back with another fun topic, fun category, whatever you want to call segment. One of my favorite segments when I have guests, and that is blind rank. Of course, I've had people rank blind things of all, I mean, TV shows, movies, sports athletes, and that's exactly what we're going to do today, Dane. Okay. So of course, if you know, make a little list of 10, and I'm going to give you 10 random athletes from the four major leagues. That is right. This one's weird. This is a really weird one because you're going to have to go through the NBA, the NHL, NFL, MLB, and try and pick them apart. You ready for this?
Are we doing like how good they are or like my favorites?
I think that's a great point. I want you to go off of your favorites for these players.
All right. I can do that.
Your personal favorite. So this is Dane's favorite players in all these leagues, all randomized by me, blind ranked. Let's get into it. Your first player on the list, I'm going to give you Zach Parise.
Yeah, you know, still not a huge Wild guy, but but UND alum. So he does get put up there a little bit. He was a stud for a long time with the Wild. We'll put him at four.
Absolutely. And I wanted to give you like a personal favorite. I know a huge UND guy. So I don't know. You'll see who else, if there's anyone that goes above him. Your next player, Josh Jacobs, the new Green Bay Packer, former Raider, running back in the NFL. Josh Jacobs.
We're going to put him down at nine. This is like, even if he was, like a Raider still. I've notoriously thought, contrary to one of our buddies' beliefs, that he's one of the most overrated running backs of the last like 5 years. He's had one good season where he ran for like 1,800 yards, which great. Don't get me wrong. That's great. But he's like, it's been like 11 and 12 every other year. And he's the workhorse of that team. It's not like they're a passing offense either. Not a huge guy on Josh Jacobs.
No, not at all. And when I was shopping around the running backs, I was like, I got to pick a random one. I got to kind of stump you with them. And that's exactly what I did here is we go to the MLB Mookie Betts star outfielder for the Dodgers, if I'm not mistaken. I watched him this past weekend. I actually saw him play the Cubs. There's no other sports on, so we had that on. Good game. Whatever MLB's doing, making this shot, the pitch clock fast or whatever, I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, that is nice, but you're kind of seeing supposedly an uptick on pitcher injuries because they're rushing so fast and throwing. So we'll see what the long-term side effects of the pitch clock is. As it comes to like superstars and other teams, I really don't pay attention. I'm solely like a Twins guy. Watch the Twins as much as they don't want to spend money on their team to make themselves better. That's a conversation for a whole other day, but I'm going to put Mookie down at eight just because I don't know too much about his game.
Not respectable. I don't know anything about the MLB. So I just know he's a star player. Alrighty. Next up, we're hitting the ice. I got you Austin Matthews, potentially a top three player in the NHL right now, currently on the Maple Leafs. Austin Matthews.
This is, This is the guy that's like breaking the record for goals, right? Like he's scoring a bunch of goals. Do you know by chance? Anyway, there's a Matthews.
Could be Austin Matthews. All I know is
Austin.
He's good. That's all I know.
He is good. We'll throw him at seven. Yeah, not too much. I heard he's good. Again, kind of the same way with baseball.
Next up, I'm going to give you Zion Williamson. Zion Williamson currently on the Pelicans, leading them into the playoffs. Somehow, this Pelicans team is in the playoffs.
We'll go five. I think Zion's a dog. He just doesn't stay healthy too often. Obviously, he's worked his way back from some conditioning issues.
He was overweight.
Yeah. So, that he worked his way back from that and was actually kind of performing at the level that they thought he would when they drafted him number one overall. We'll take it. I mean, I kind of like him, so threw him at five.
Absolutely, absolutely. Your next player, we'll stick with the NBA. I'm going to give you one of the big dogs, potentially the best player in the NBA, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
I'll go two. I like Giannis. He's funny. When I see like videos of him like being himself and doing non-basketball things, he's kind of a funny dude. So I'll put him at two. I kind of like him.
I like seeing those videos of some of the guys. It makes them more likable, if I'm being honest. And they're cracking jokes with the reporters and stuff. Your next player could potentially be partnered with Marvin Harrison Jr. next season. He has no more wide receivers. Kyler Murray, quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals.
You know, me and Z-Lars, as you know, we have a dynasty league that we've had for the last couple of years. And we drafted Kyler Murray as our quarterback. And we had him up until last year when he tore his ACL and kind of screwed us over. So there's some sentimental part there. We'll throw him at six. That's about all the talk Kyler Murray gets.
I mean, I don't know what to expect from him. He had that Hail Mary with DeAndre Hopkins, but he was a former number one pick. That's all I got for him. All righty, what do we got? Three more spots, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
And what are those spots left for you?
1, 3, and 10.
1, 3, and 10. This will be very interesting. These last three players I have, I don't know what order to give them to you in. So first off, I'm going to give you Victor Wembanyama. The undoubtedly rookie of the year for the NBA.
You know, I really have no quarrel for him, but just by, unless you're going to throw a real meatball at me and make me put someone I truly despise at 1 or 3, I'm going to put Wemby at 10.
At number 10. Oh my goodness. This is set up perfectly. And I didn't want to play this, but, alrighty, your next player. He kind of slipped down on my list and I was writing him. We got Bryce Harper, one of the star players in the MLB. I wish I would have said him sooner, but where would you put him?
I'm going to throw him at 3. Solely for the fact that I hope there's just not one guy that you have. There's one name that if this the next guy is who you're saying, we're going to scrap this whole list. From what I've seen, he's kind of a cocky dude, and I kind of like that. It's kind of funny, so we'll throw him at 3.
He's a fun player. He had stingers. Dane, I did not even try and plan this. I don't even know how number one ended up. I don't even know what player you think I'm going to say. But your number one player for your list is Deshaun Watson, quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. Can we get some thoughts on your number one player being Deshaun Watson?
Okay, never mind. There's now two players that I think we need to throw. I was the Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson, I hate Russell Wilson to the point where when all the talks were of him coming to the Vikings, I have said it and I will stand by it. If he went to the Vikings, I would not watch a game until he is off the team. I can't stand that man. Under good conscience of having a sister, a mother, and women friends, we are not putting Deshaun Watson at number one. We are going to put him at number 9,999. He goes all the way to the back of the bus.
Oh my gosh, it's just when I put that name down there, I was like, imagine this when ends up as Dane's number one, and somehow it did. So, Dane, why don't you read off your list for everyone and tell me what changes you would make?
Well, the obvious one. So I don't have a number. Don't have a number one. So we'll go Giannis at 2, Bryce Harper 3, Parisi 4, Zion at 5, Kyler at 6, Matthew at 7, Betts at 8, Josh Jacobs at 9, and Wimby at 10. Realistically, I can just throw Wimby up to 1 just to, for the optics to look better.
Might as well.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's funny with these blind ranks, what you'll get. The random sports players really kind of throws you off because you have to think about like across the different leagues and stuff. But yeah, Dane's number one player, Deshaun Watson. You heard it here. You heard it here first. Dane's favorite player is Deshaun Watson. Well, we'll move on from the blind rank. Clearly not the best. Clearly not the best blind rank we could have done. I'm trying to think, what else have I had you blind rank?
Wasn't it music last time? I think we did music.
Oh, bands. I had you do like old bands or something.
Yeah, and then I think it was NFL quarterbacks, I think was the first one we did.
Well, we're not talking about music right now. What we're going to talk about right now is some TV shows, Dane. What's been some fire TV shows you've been watching?
I've kind of stuck with the Amazon Prime recently. Say what you will, if it's a cartoon or not, doesn't matter. Invincible, that is on Amazon Prime, is one of the best shows that have come out in the last couple of years. It breaks the fourth wall. It's pretty funny when they talk about how long the gap was between the two seasons, where they start like, oh yeah, animation actually takes time and people can't keep expecting things. It's got a pretty good story within it. It's not just dudes beating the crap out of each other as superheroes. So I really like that one. Obviously, The Boys, great show again on HBO or on Amazon, along with its tie-in of Gen V, also really good. Trying to think ones I've watched the last couple of years. I'll think when you start talking about some stuff.
Well, first off, keeping on this Amazon Prime track, all three of those shows, fire. All right. Absolutely amazing. Invincible, we just covered the season finale, I think last week when it came out. We talked about it, or the week before. And for being an animated show, it has more depth than a lot of human, like, you know, with live action, if you will, shows that I've seen. And from what I've heard is this is going to be a long series, a very long series. Especially since we've had two seasons and it's like we're still like not even like at the main plot, which is this giant battle between the Viltrumites and between the people of the universe. Have you read any of the comics at all? Know anything about the comics?
I when I worked at one of my other jobs earlier through my college year, one of the guys I worked with, he was like one of those stereotypical big nerds, and he had read all the books as like that first season was coming out, and he was basically saying just like, yeah, the first season was like 2 centimeters of the actual like comics that had come out, and the actual like 3-book stories are like massive. So that was pretty exciting. I kind of wanted to get into them own. I looked up what they cost, and like all 3 books were like $180. So we're gonna like
what? Gotta be a library or something.
Possibly. But yeah, Invincible, great show. I can't recommend it any more than I already have.
No, I mean, Seth told me, of course, your brother, my roommate, he was going home for the week and he's like, hey, Invincible season 2 is coming out. You should watch season 1, you know, and we can watch like a season 2 together to start out. And I was like, hey, you know what? I don't watch animated shows. I don't watch cartoons. And I ended up watching all 8 episodes in one night from 6 o'clock at night till 3 in the morning. I was just up watching these. You want to binge them. You want to watch them. I think season 1, you know, it might be a bit better thanks to that finale than season 2, but I still think season 2 was good. It's just that 4-month break, the 2.5 year break, it really kind of killed it, and especially lost a lot of fans. I mean,
yeah, the momentum of that show definitely died. I mean, but has there ever been another show that has gripped you within the first like 5 minutes of a TV series of what happened? It's insane. And yeah, can't recommend.
No, and I mean, spoiler alert for the first episode. So if you're listening to this, skip ahead a bit for the first episode of the series. Imagine ending your first episode by killing off the entire main team you just introduced. That's how you hook people. That is how you hook people in a show.
Yeah, especially when, like, I mean, at least what I do, when you kind of get those, like, superhero shows, you kind of compare it to, like, actual real-life superheroes. So obviously that was kind of like a parody of the Justice League, where you got the Wonder Woman, the Batman, the Flash, all the characters that kind of symbolize. And you're like, oh, I'm drawing connections. Oh, this is what Batman would be. And then you watch Batman be get grabbed out of the sky and then splattered onto the ground. It's like, what? Crazy.
So amazing. Staying on the Amazon Prime track, The Boys, another amazing show. I mean, talk about a show that, like, season two top season one, season three top season two, and coming out this summer, season four. What are you excited to see?
Kind of what everyone kind of looks forward to as each season goes by is just how more unhinged Homelander gets and how much more he can get away with. Obviously he's the Superman character, so there's not much that can, like, stop him, but it's insane to, like, watch progressively how more unhinged they get and how far that the production team can, like, push the limits of TV guidelines. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, some of the episodes you saw season three, I'm like, my parents cannot watch that. I just don't want my mother seeing the things that they've created. But, I mean, I don't know what to even expect in the final, actually not the final season. I do see that Jeffrey Dean Morgan, a notable Walking Dead actor, he will be joining the show in season four as, like, a team up with Billy Butcher. I'll be excited to see him. He's a good actor.
Yeah, I think I've seen something along those lines of what character he's going to play. I'm sure I've seen some, like, promo shot of him in his costume or whatever he's going to be. So yeah, I'm looking forward to this season as well.
Absolutely. And as for its offshoot, Gen V, that's also a good show, but unfortunately some sad news coming out as one of the main actors passed away. I can't recall his name though, unfortunately.
Pardon my pronunciation. I just pulled it up because I knew we'd probably talk about it. Chance Perdomo. P-E-R-D-O-M-O.
Does it say what character he was?
He was the... I can't see his name right off the... One sec.
Andre Anderson. He could bend metal or something.
Yeah, Andre Anderson was his character's name. When you talk about main characters, that's... that's like if the actor for Homelander died mid-shoot. He was a focal point of the show, and sadly, motorcycle accident. Supposedly, rumor has it, driving up to Toronto to start filming. So,
motorcycle. Tragic. I mean, I don't want to say it makes it worse that he's dead, but those motorcycle accidents are never pretty. Those are always a doozy. But man, rest in peace. That's all I'll say.
Agreed.
And moving over to the Max scenes, formerly known as HBO Max, Game of Thrones, House of the Dragon, the prequel to Game of Thrones, if you will, season two coming out this summer. I am excited for that. As someone who has read the books, I know the lore, if you will, of Game of Thrones. We're in for a treat this upcoming season. You excited for that?
I am really excited. It was kind of crazy how the last season ended with the kid being eaten by the giant dragon. It was kind of suspenseful. You were kind of on the edge of your seat when you saw him walking in to try and negotiate.
Absolutely.
The dragon was gone. And you're like, oh, maybe it ended. And then it ended with dragon claws snapping the little boy in its mouth. And you're like, oh, that's a way to end the series. I'm super excited. I constantly found myself, like, pulling up a family tree of who's who to see if, oh, is that Emilia Clarke's here? Is Daenerys trying to see, like, what her, who's that is related to her. And it's like on the four great grandmother or something right now. It's something crazy.
It's a very weird lineage that George R. R. Martin has created. But I will say that the first season, it was all right, but definitely a build-up season, which is always risky with shows. Especially, I mean, I wouldn't even say Invincible was a build-up season. Season 2 felt more like a build-up season for Invincible. But as for, you know, House of Dragon, if you're not a huge Game of Thrones fan, it might be kind of hard to get into with that. I'm being honest.
Yeah, especially when it had the time jumps of going back and forth and younger actors and older actors playing the same thing. It can get kind of confusing.
Some of the weirdest time jumps, I want you, everyone watching, to know, like halfway through the season, they just randomly go like, oh, it's 15 years in the future and all the actresses are like kind of different except for one. It is so weird how they do it. Queen Rhaenyra. Queen Rhaenyra is like the only one who time jumps from being like a little girl to being like a grown up. So it's very odd.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, that's the only. But I feel like when you are associated with something as much pedigree as Game of Thrones, you can kind of afford to take those risks of knowing that you're with the same production company that Game of Thrones and how successful that was. You can kind of take those risks and be just like, you don't like it, you don't like it. Who cares?
Unfortunate news in the Game of Thrones universe, as the rumored Snow series starring Jon Snow has officially been canceled before it can even get off its feet. They just couldn't come to an agreement on the script and the direction they wanted to take the character. And it sounded like that Kit Harington wanted to kind of elevate Jon Snow and they kind of want him to do his whole other thing. So that's some very unfortunate news.
Yeah. That is kind of stink. Jon Snow has kind of been the only decent person to root for throughout the entire show. So,
no, I mean, they did him so dirty. And George R. R. Martin, can you write the sixth book? Can I get that? I read the books. You know, I enjoyed them. Good book reader. And might I say is that the books are going in a much better direction than whatever way the show took them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, have you seen that TED series on Peacock at all?
I haven't. And it kind of spite me. I don't even think I've seen more than a couple clips of the first two movies. I know that's like really bad, but they've seemed funny to me. I just haven't sat down and had the time or been in the mood to watch them. But
you have got to watch TED and TED 2. Those are so fun. The fact you haven't seen them, I would want to be you to experience them in full for the first time. The second one is better than the first one, and the first one is so hilarious. So those are some must-watches for you.
I'll definitely get to it. There's not a chance I won't not watch them.
No, and can you think of any other TV shows that you're waiting for new episodes for? Any big ones, small ones, you know?
Not any ones that I'm really waiting for, but the second season kind of wrapped up. I just remembered as we were talking a couple months ago, but Reacher, starring Blue Mountain State guy, his name slipped my mind. Crazy seeing that guy who played Thad Castle in Blue Mountain State be this serious actor, which it's kind of funny. The Tom Cruise, he played the same character in those movies all those years ago, and he's this 5'6", 130-pound dude. My dad, who read all those books, those are kind of his forte of books that he's read. He's like, yeah, this is stupid. He's supposed to be some like 6'4", 250-pound dude that everyone makes fun of because he's so big. And when they announced him being who's like 6'3", 250 or whatever he is, he's like, yeah, this is what the guy should look like. They constantly reference it throughout the books, and now they were kind of able to do it through the TV show of just how big they are and constantly calling him Angry Gorilla or something. So that was a real fun show that I enjoyed watching on a weekly basis.
No, I absolutely. That's on my must-watch list. I got to get around to that. Big recommendation from you, I take it then.
Yeah, it was pretty. The first season, I'd say they're about equally pretty good. No, there's no real fall-off from each season. He's an interesting character, the way he kind of acts. It's a pretty good show.
Absolutely. I love that. I love TV shows. And I mean, who doesn't? They're so entertaining. But let me tell you something else, Dane. I've seen this on so many other podcasts. I see it on shows. There's even TikTok pages dedicated to this. So I want you to give me some of your hot takes for certain categories. I'll try and give some of my same. We'll go through three categories and we'll each give a hot take and see, maybe it is a hot take, maybe it isn't. Ready to do this?
As ready as I'll ever be.
All right, first one off, this is an easy one. This is an easy category. I'm sure everyone has it. They can just think of their personal palate. What is a food hot take you have regarding food? Do you want me to go first or you?
Yeah, you go first and I'll think of a good one.
All right, for me, this one's very bold. It's very unpopular. I think ranch is the worst dipping sauce.
Yeah, I am one of those people that strongly disagree with you there. Love me some ranch. It's a great palate cleanser, if you will, when it comes to other dipping sauces like ketchup and like Chick-fil-A sauce. Ranch, 10 out of 10.
You know, here's the thing. I love cane sauce, which I've been told is just an offshoot of ranch. And I try and have regular ranch, and I cannot handle it. I can't handle it all. And honestly, white sauces in general, not to sound funny, I just don't really like. I'm talking Alfredo. I don't really like any like soups in a white sauce. Not a big fan of that.
Well, one thing I've kind of come just thinking about, the first thing that popped in my head, it's kind of a two-parter. One, the thick and creamy mac and cheese, Kraft mac and cheese, far better. Like, it's an essential to have that over the original Kraft mac and cheese. And the second part of that, you always have to add your own cheese afterwards. After you're done, like, mixing all the ingredients, add, like, some shredded cheese into it to, as it, like, melts in there. That's, like, a have to for me. I can't just have it a plain bowl of mac and cheese. I don't know if that's really considered, like, a hot take or more of just, like, a prep, but yeah, that's the first thing I could think of.
No, honestly, I feel like for food hot takes, it's tougher to make a hot take because everyone has different preferences when it comes to food. Maybe like a hot take would be that I don't think Domino's Pizza is a top five pizza place of all time. I think that's a hot take. No, that could be a hot take.
Good. As my like second like backup one would be Domino's Pizza is better warmed up than any other pizza on the planet, as I have a pizza in my fridge waiting to be warmed up for dinner. So maybe it was a little.
That could be something. I like that. But next up, next category for hot takes. And I think this one also broad, but I think we can kind of zone in, is a sports hot take. Sports hot take. We could go to any league, any type of sport.
Well, if you go first again, I feel like you've got some stuff planned out. I gotta think of. I feel like I have occasionally some that rub people the wrong way, but just have you go first, and I'll.
One of my hot takes is I think no matter what LeBron James does to even finish out his career, he'll never pass Michael Jordan for being the GOAT.
I mean, unless he wins five more rings.
I even think that. I think people just call him a ring chaser at that point. I think it's already set in stone that Michael Jordan's the GOAT.
Yeah. I guess one that I can, like, I don't know why I have a gut feeling about this. And contrary to all the evidence, I know it's wrong. I don't think Houston is going to be the world beaters. They're Houston Texans are going to be the world beaters that everyone thinks they're going to be. This year, I think that they'll probably be about the same team they were last year, even though they've added more pieces. They're retaining all their coaches. I just have this tingling feeling that I think they're going to be a wild card divisional team and then lose.
So then who would be the top team next season?
I mean, I've been burned by it before, saying that they're not going to be as good as they have been, and I think I've probably said it on this podcast, but the Kansas City Chiefs, you can't bet against Mahomes. They're only staying younger. Other than Kelsey, the whole team is pretty young. There's not a lot of fall off from that. I'm still kind of iffy on the Jets. I don't know if Rodgers will be as form as he was. He tried to get his little speed surgery done and it didn't help him at all. Now it's going to hinder him because he doesn't have full motion of his ankle that he would have had. So still iffy on the Jets. The Bills, they just have no offensive weapons anymore, which kind of stinks because they're kind of my number two team. I don't know. I just don't think Houston will. And it's stupid to think that because they have all the keys to be a premier team. I just, for some reason, think something's going to happen and they're not going to be there.
No, I honestly get that. And we can honestly rename this bold takes as, you know, I'm going to say right now, you know, I don't think Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen will win the Super Bowl in their career.
Oh, we've already talked about this an extent about Lamar Jackson. I don't think this year, or maybe this could be considered a hot take. He was the most fraudulent MVP ever this year. He did not deserve to be MVP at all. Josh Allen, I think, is one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL. I love Josh Allen. That's kind of why he became my second team. Also, not to change completely the subject, but we were talking about it earlier, and the notification just popped up on my phone. At the end of the first quarter, the Timberwolves are down 26-44 to the Washington Wizards.
No one knows. Washington Wizards are actually the worst team in the Eastern Conference. They flip-flop with the Pistons. So that is that's pretty comical.
Yeah. Yeah. So back to our hot takes. Sorry, I just saw that pop up and I was like, I feel like that was worth mentioning.
No, honestly, as we look back now on the Lamar Jackson MVP, it obviously doesn't even make sense, honestly. I mean, he didn't even have the best stats. You know, the Ravens ended up not even being that good of a team in the playoffs, which is no surprise. But honestly, for a hot take, I mean, I honestly think you should have given Christian McCaffrey the MVP then. Should have rewarded
Christian McCaffrey. Him or Josh Allen? Josh Allen legit put up 3 times the amount of touchdowns as Lamar Jackson did. And sure, you could be like, oh yeah, the turnovers. He was responsible for like 90% of the touchdowns on that Bills team. That is the definition of the most valuable player, not the quarterback on the best regular season team. I think at some point we have to preface that award if that's what we're going to keep giving it to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All righty, Dane, do you have any categories you would want a hot take to?
Not off the top of my head. I mean, sports are usually where I consist of my hot takes, and we just kind of covered that. So I don't have really off the rip.
All right, here's one more sports hot take for you then. MLB, ooh, actually, I don't know. You'll have to give me your opinion on this, but I think MLB is, and probably will be for like the future, probably the worst of the big four sports in the U.S.
Yeah, it's kind of, a lot of it has to do with how they run their budget. From what I'm understanding, and I don't understand it very well at all, but the way the budget works and their payroll, it's basically whatever the owner wants to pay. And they have, there's different thresholds where if you your payroll is to that extent, you have to pay like a fine. It's called a luxury tax. That's where the Dodgers are like, I think it's insane where the Dodgers amount of money over the luxury tax is the amount the Twins actually spent on their payroll this year, which is, I mean, I think the Dodgers have spent like over $1 billion on their payroll. That's kind of ruining the sport when you're just loading up on 3 or 4 premier teams and then you have the other 20 some just kind of there.
No, and when it comes to the big four sports leagues, I mean, the NFL is way up top. And then the NBA, NHL, MLB, it's almost like they're all trying to play catch up to reach second place. I mean, it's tough to even say what is the most popular of the three. I'd say maybe NBA. I think much more celebrities probably go to NBA than the latter two, but I don't really know.
Yeah, I'd have to give it to the NBA, mostly just for their presence everywhere. ESPN has their deal with NBA and they talk about them all the time. The NHL is just recently, within the last like 2-3 years, signed a deal with ESPN to even be talked about on
sports. Oh my God.
So the NHL is super exciting and the hockey players are in a league of their own, but it definitely is probably NFL, NBA, and then NHL, MLB kind of fighting for that last spot.
Yeah, it's I don't even know the direction sports are going in. I know as a UFC fan, I don't know how to feel about this, but the UFC is gaining more and more popularity. So I've had to deal with more casual fans as I talk to them when they're like, oh yeah, my favorite fighters are Conor McGregor and Sean O'Malley. And I'm like, okay, do you know about Tatsuro Taira, the undefeated Japanese prospect who just got into the rankings? And they look at me like I'm a weirdo. But I'm sure all sports can relate to that.
Yeah, and social media hasn't made, obviously Twitter's a cesspool. You don't take anything that you hear on Twitter, but some of the things people say on Twitter what relates to sports, it's like, did you read the thing that was right above you that you responded to, or are you just typing to type?
Just typing to type at that point. Just wanna, they just, the trolls, actual trolls. But yeah, this hot takes category, this whole hot take segment is kind of taking a turn. So I'll kind of end it off with a general hot take. We will each give a general hot take. So one general hot take that I have, very, very simple, is I think that dogs are the superior pet by a long shot. I don't think any pet comes close to a dog.
Yeah, I mean, love me a good dog. I'm not going to disagree with that. I'm just wondering if that's really a – I feel like it's almost 50-50. That's a lot more dog people. Like, well, that's more than 50-50. I feel like it's like 70-30. I have a lot more dog people than cat people out there with our miscellaneous other pets like lizards and stuff. We can all collectively agree that people who think snakes are cool, no, they're not. Snakes are not cool. Snakes should not be pets. Snakes should be
burned. He'll eat you.
Yeah, they should be burned. Don't like snakes. Yeah, I know that's a huge bold take there that snakes are bad and I don't like snakes. But geez, trying to think of some.
I got one for you. I got one for you. Final thing for this segment, might even when I label the little markers at the bottom of the screen, I might call this hot/bold takes. What do you think is the most overrated movie franchise?
I mean, just because I think they're dumb, but the Fast and Furious, I think are pretty dumb.
That's very valid. I think a majority of people might agree with you.
Yeah, I'll stick with that. I think they're all just kind of dumb. Oh, the Avatars, the Blue People Avatar shows. I can't stand those movies. I think they're dumb as well.
Oh, that the last one was so long. Last one was so long. I was actually about to pass. I checked my phone. I'm like, I'm only 2 hours in. I have another hour and something to go.
Yeah, when I was younger, my threshold as if a movie was good, if I fell asleep or not. I was asleep by like the first hour of that first movie. I'm not a fan.
I'll say for me, you know, it used to be amazing. I used to be in love with it. But I think Star Wars has become overrated. I think like, you know, the prequels, they were good. Obviously, like, you know, the first two movies have some of their issues, but that third one, Revenge of Sith, probably the best out of all of them. I still think the original three are both, I think they're all good. I like all three of those movies. But everything since, I mean, maybe The Mandalorian's an exception. I think everything's kind of sucked and kind of taken it downhill.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with that. It was both pretty big Star Wars fans here. I think we're just oversaturated with side characters that no one cares about. I mean, The Mandalorian is kind of like that one exception of a side character that's kind of become beloved, especially with little Grogu. And I mean, Ahsoka kind of did that with the Clone Wars being obviously Anakin's Padawan. But I feel like we're just oversaturated with things that don't matter. We still have not had like a Darth Vader. Granted, you can say the whole series is a Darth Vader series. We got an Obi-Wan, which was probably the best thing, last good thing they came out with, because it was a main character that actually got some extended media past the 6-9 main movies. So I don't know.
I don't know. Did you see the new show, The Acolyte, or whatever that's called? I just zero interest from my end.
Yeah, I saw the trailers for it. The last like couple, I've never watched. I mean, my brother and dad watched it, but I never watched The Mandalorian. I never watched The Book of Boba Fett. Never watched The Acolyte. There was another show that came out recently. I was like, I don't really care about all the side. I watched the heck out of the Obi-Wan one because, you know, main character. Let's watch some Obi-Wan. But I don't know.
I don't know where it's heading. I do hear that, you know, they're apparently making another movie. They're apparently making another trilogy with Rey. I'm heard they're trying to do that, while at the same time also trying to make a separate movie which is in the Star Wars universe, but in like a different galaxy than everyone else. I have no idea what they have planned.
Yeah, I mean, they're running out. I mean, Mark Hamill's getting pretty old. I'm surprised Harrison Ford is still alive. That dude doesn't look great. And we already lost Carrie Fisher. So we're running out of like movies that you can reference the older movies from. So
yeah.
they better do something.
Absolutely. I'll say this, throw this little point in real quick. You don't have to dabble it, but I can say the same thing for Marvel. Marvel has completely lost, I think, a majority of its fan base, probably maybe even more than Star Wars.
100% agree. The TV shows were cute at first, but then they've kind of killed it. We'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, and I don't even know what new movie or show is out or if there's even one coming out. Like, I actually have no idea.
They killed off all the popular characters, and now they're kind of reaping the benefits or the problems of that.
Yeah. And then you got Sony putting out movies like Madam Web, expecting that they'll revive. Yeah, we don't even need to talk about that. But hot takes, bold takes. It's always fun to discuss things just like that. But Dane, we have a good amount of time left. One last thing to go over. For I've been talking an hour. It's been a quick little hour here on the Spreadshed podcast. And that's the whole reason this podcast was being made. Sponsored by no one, but we'll talk about the NFL draft because this is looking to be the best draft in, dare I say, the last decade, dare I say the last a long time, especially since I started watching football, where besides the number one pick, maybe the number two, it's all a mystery. It's all a mystery what can happen.
Yeah, I've got my own theories about what, say, like the Vikings will do, but it really has. But I mean, there's Caleb Williams at one, but now more recently, even number two is thrown up in the air. And if it's going to be Jaden Daniels or JJ McCarthy, or they're going to trade out of the number two pick, it's all over the place on what they're going to do. So we'll see what happens in a week, or I guess that's what, 2 weeks away, 3 weeks away.
The 26th. So yes, I think just over 2 weeks, but like a couple of days.
Yeah, it's we'll see. I've kind of, since free agency kind of ended and the open-endedness of what the Vikings specifically are going to do, I've kind of emotionally checked out. And as we kind of talked about before we started recording, I can't stand NFL mock drafts. They're one of my least favorite things to look at, just because especially this time frame, people are just throwing things at a wall and seeing what they'll stick. I remember a couple of years ago when really turned my hatred on is, what if Trevor Lawrence doesn't go number one overall to the Jags? It's like, they've said 4 months ago that they're taking him number one overall. So you're just trying to make some news article fit that, yeah, he's going to fall to the Jets because, you know, New York media wants the Trevor Lawrence with the Jets. It's like, okay, dude, let's tone it down.
You know, it's obviously obvious Caleb Williams is going number one to the Chicago Bears, but I won't lie. I just do not see him like succeeding like in the NFL. And I know for a fact it's his attitude. His attitude has put me off. It's the arrogance, which I know you can point out that Deion Sanders was super cocky for his draft and everyone loved it. But I don't know. It's just something about Caleb Williams that I just don't like.
Yeah, I was kind of saying, he kind of almost has that Johnny Manziel attitude to him, where he's like super talented. And if there's a chance that he can be great. The Bears have never had a good quarterback. Granted, they've won Super Bowls, but they've never had someone throw for over 4,000 yards. So do with that as you will. I think a Keenan Allen being traded in is now like the technically leading receiver in Bears history. If you look at his total yards.
That's funny.
It's stupid how like offensively that franchise has basically been dookie, but defensively they've been insane. So I don't know about Caleb Williams. I'm kind of the same with you. He's kind of, last couple months have kind of turned me off of him, even to the point where like, yeah, I'm fine if he goes to the Bears as a division rival. Not too worried about it.
Yeah, so I think we'll just kind of go through all the teams, you know, talk about some of the prospects, but that kind of starts us off with one is like the Bears aren't, Everyone says trades are going to happen. So now it's like they're saying they're saying every team's trading their pick. So it's almost like hard to predict which teams will trade. But I do not see the Bears giving away Caleb Williams. They think they got some with him. So we'll leave that there. We had to number two, which is currently the Commanders. And with the giving away of Sam Howell, they've officially said, hey, we're taking a quarterback. We're taking a quarterback. Who do you think? Who do you think?
Yeah, that one was – the Sam Howell trade was weird. Like, why not have him sit behind someone and – or maybe even teach someone? That was a whole weird thing. And then trading him to Seahawks, who already have –
Yeah, I mean, I feel like he was awful this year.
No, he was one – I think at one point probably the leading passer in the NFL. He threw for a whole bunch of yards. Granted, he also threw for a lot of interceptions, but do that as well. But it's kind of steaming up a little bit. Obviously, Jaden Daniels has been the favorite for how long to go number two to Washington. But there's been rumors, of course, since like the combine and pro days when he actually performed well, that J.J. McCarthy could even go as high as number two to Washington, which, I mean, either one makes sense. If you're trying to get a quarterback, why not get one of the top three?
I mean, Drake May, he could even be an option.
Yeah, there's actually, rumors that he may fall to like six or seven, depending on who's there. Like people are saying, oh, if the Vikings trade into the at number five, they could be able to get him. I don't know. We'll see.
Here's my issue, and I think we're not gonna take trades into account. Is because, by the way, I also am not a big fan of mock drafts. Is I've seen the Vikings apparently trading with the Commanders for the two, with the Patriots for the three, with the Cardinals for the four, with the Chargers for the five. I do not know if we're going to trade up that high. I don't know. I think we might almost see what we get at 11. I don't know.
Yeah, we're definitely going to – we're not going to do two. Like, two is out of the question. There's talks of the Patriots. From what I – like, people are saying that we may need to give up next year's first. I don't think we need that much, maybe to go to three, but for four or five, it would probably be these two first and like next year's third or something. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be as crazy, but I'm with you. I have this sneaking, dreadful feeling in my gut that we're going to sit at 11, panic like we did with Christian Ponder and take Michael Penix or Bo Nix even at 11 and then see what we get at 23. And we do the same thing we did with Christian. Oh, we panicked. We need to take a quarterback, so we're going to take him. And it's really not the guy that we wanted. There's been some reports earlier this week, or it was over the weekend, basically like, oh, yeah, Drake May is the kind of guy that'll get you fired if you trade up for him and get him. He's kind of a project, which isn't that what you kind of want? Were people saying the same thing about Justin Herbert? Is that he was kind of, yeah, he has all the talent to do stuff, but he's going to be kind of a project. And I'd take Justin Herbert in the heartbeat over even last year with, granted, Kirk was playing at an unbelievable level, but Justin Herbert's Justin Herbert.
Oh, yeah. And there's just, it always takes a year or two to see. Like, I mean, Justin Fields is a perfect example of we gave him multiple years, nothing changed. And I know he has that one good game where he drops 50 fantasy points. Everyone says, here's the guy. He's now back up to Russell Wilson on the Steelers. Okay. So, and then we look at, I'm trying to think, I mean, I don't really want to go Tom Brady here. I don't really want to go with like, oh, they found a guy in the fifth round, but there's perfect examples of drafts loaded with quarterbacks where you find that star player and he's not in the top three, top five picks.
Oh, yeah. It's just super hard, especially when you talk about quarterbacks. Obviously, we just talked about Simone Russell Wilson, obviously, being a later round pick. Obviously, the clear-cut example of Tom Brady being one. Brock Purdy is obviously the biggest one, Mr. Irrelevant himself. So there's plenty of cases where, yeah, you got your quarterback in like the third-plus round, but it's far and few in between. Almost all of them are first to second-round talent. I don't know. We'll have to see what they do. I don't have a lot of faith, I guess you can say, in Michael Penix. Bo Nix, sure, he can play. I think he threw for like 45 touchdowns, 3 interceptions this year at Oregon. But he's like 27 years old, 26, 27 years old. He's been in college forever. So, yeah. So, I don't know. We'll see. I think Penix is just a worse version of Anthony Richardson. That's left-handed, which kind of bugs me.
That could be a bold take. We're going to throw that in the hot take category there.
Oh, cool beans.
All righty. So, Commanders, let's say the rumors are true. They draft Jaden McDaniels. He's off the board. Okay. Who would you take it to then if you're the Commanders?
I'd take Jaden Daniels. Not McDaniels. Jaden Daniels.
Are those different players?
Jaden McDaniels is a Timberwolf. But,
that's the name. Now we're drafting him. You know, he's gonna be one of those multi-sport players. Like, what's his name? Bo
Jackson. And but I'd probably take him just from he's like, Heisman Trophy. See what he can do. He's projected to go number two all year for a reason. Why not?
Yep. So let me go with three. It's the Patriots. The one site I have up, I have the USA Today, notable paper for their mock draft. They have the Vikings trading, which is why I was bringing up how absurd. But maybe they could do that. But the Patriots need a quarterback. But at the same time, you have Marvin Harrison on the board when you have no wide receivers. What do you do with the Patriots with the number three pick?
The consensus I've always heard and that I've kind of agreed with the most is you are not one quarterback away in New England. You have a lot of pieces that could be filled. Sure, does a good quarterback elevate worse players around you to play well there and be well? Yeah, they have experienced that to a lesser extent with Tom Brady. He's had some Pro Bowlers around him, don't get me wrong, but you can always say that. In that, I wouldn't be surprised if they trade out of that pick, get some compensation for that, draft a few more younger guys and see where they go from there. It's a new head coach, so who knows? Bill Belichick wasn't known for his drafting prowess. Now he's not there anymore. We'll see what they do. But I can easily see them staying as well and taking either JJ or Drake.
Now, so just to keep our little draft going, if you're the Patriots, you're making the call. Are you taking JJ McCarthy or Drake May to the Patriots?
I'm probably going to take JJ McCarthy. He seems like the more solid prospect, if you will.
Absolutely. We go to four. It's the Cardinals. I honestly have, let's say Minnesota is still up there. I've seen them trading with the Cardinals in a lot of these. But in this situation, we'd be trading to get Drake May. And it just feels like we'd trade to get JJ McCarthy. Does that sound accurate?
Kind of. The more I've heard stuff and read stuff, I don't think we're going to get Arizona's pick. I feel like they realize they need a wide receiver and they need a wide receiver bad. And if they trade back to 11, they're losing the top three wide receivers on the board. So I think they're either going to take Neighbors or Marvin Harrison Jr. They're going to get a weapon for Kyler Murray and see what they go. But going back to your point, if we do trade, I could actually see us trading up for Drake May. Supposedly, we've liked both of them, Drake May and JJ McCarthy. Who knows what's actually being said in the front office rooms with GM and head coach and who they actually like. Take everything you read with a grain of salt. Question. That's lesson of the day, people. Question everything.
Question everything, Dane DuPaul.
Yes, sir. So I think Arizona stays. Would I be surprised if they trade out and collect some picks? No. But I think they stay and take either Neighbors or Marvin Harrison.
Yep, I could see that. I'm feeling Marvin Harrison. I think I honestly would be surprised if they went Rome or Malik over Marvin Harrison, but a lot can happen. Number five, the Chargers. Another interesting thing. I've been seeing them taking Malik Nabers. I've been seeing them taking Brock Bowers, potentially the highest drafted tight end of all time. I don't know what they're going to do in Los Angeles.
I think it probably is going to be a wide receiver just because I don't think they want to run into 2024 with Quinnen Johnson as wide receiver one. He has not shown greatness last season. He dropped a lot of passes. Can that change your sophomore year? Sure. He can click in his head and he can figure it out. Who is the Jamar Chase? Everyone was saying he had an issue like dropping the ball his rookie year, and then he proceeded to catch like 1,600 yards or something. Things can change. But I don't know. If anyone where the Vikings were to trade up for, I think this is the spot they'd do it. I've said it a couple of times already. I feel like you won't need to give up that much to get to five. Moving up six spots isn't, granted, it is a top five pick. But yeah, I don't know.
I won't lie. It is going to be exciting as a Vikings fan. You know, the suspense, especially after the first two picks. Maybe even the top three picks where we wait to see, oh, Minnesota's made a trade. That'll be so hype. And even with whoever Minnesota drafts, because it's still such a mystery. But I don't know what Harbaugh's going to do with the Chargers. I don't really know what type of team he runs with. I mean, he's had his J.J. McCarthy. He's had his who did he have? He had his Colin Kaepernick when he was with the 49ers. Now he's got Justin Herbert. I think that he might try and build around Herbert. So potentially wide receiver could be the move. All righty, getting down to six, we have the Giants, another questionable team. All right, Saquon's gone. I don't think they really know what they're going to do. What are you doing if you're the Giants?
This is one of those teams that the Vikings, if they're really considering their quarterback, they may have to leapfrog to get, because I think we've all seen that the Vikings, the playoff year, completely scammed the Giants into paying Daniel Jones that amount of money. Daniel Jones is not that good of a quarterback. As White Lightning or Vanilla Vic, as everyone likes to call him, he's not that great of a quarterback. Granted, last year, every time he stepped back, it was instant pressure and basically killed him every time he took a step back. So I can see them taking an offensive lineman. I can see them taking a quarterback. The Giants are one of those teams that wide open. They can basically do whatever they want.
Yeah, they got holes everywhere that need to be filled. That sounded funny. But I know Joe Alt, offensive tackle for Notre Dame. He's a name that they've been floating around a lot, that he could go in the top 10. Personally, I don't find any defensive tackles or offensive tackles exciting. You know, I'm here for them quarterbacks, them running backs, and wide receivers. But you're right. Giants can do whatever. Number seven, the Titans. It feels like the same situation as the Giants. Titans are just, I don't know what the Titans are going to do. But, you know, they got a brand new team this year. Will Levis could be leading the charge. You got DeAndre Hopkins, if I'm not mistaken, still there. And someone else joined. Who else joined them? Wide receiver, no?
You got me, put me on the spot there.
I can't remember.
Someone definitely did.
I think it was a free agent, I'm assuming. It was Calvin Ridley joined the Titans.
There it is.
I was like, oh, why would he go from Trevor Lawrence to Will Levis? But honestly, the more I look, pretty similar builds.
Yeah, I think we've talked about this. I don't know if on this podcast, but in length, I was huge on Will Levis. I really wanted the Vikings to take him and then have him, which his biggest thing was decision-making and accuracy, which Kirk Cousins is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL at doing that. So I have him sit behind Kirk Cousins for a year, learn, and then have him start this year, which, weird, would have been real great to have him start off now that we don't have a quarterback. But we decided to, I don't even remember, obviously we took Addison, but then I don't remember what we did. Doesn't matter. Point being, I think they could be a pretty good team this year. Even when Will Levis came in last year, he had his games where he struggled, but that offense definitely looked more explosive than it did with numbskull Tannehill in there. And so I can definitely see that. They probably want to add another offensive lineman. I think the offensive line struggled a little bit last year, if I'm not mistaken. Or I can definitely see them going like a defensive player, like a cornerback. They lost, was it Byard last year? He went to the Eagles, so they didn't really have their safety. So I can definitely see them going defensive backfield as well as an offensive lineman.
Titans just one of those teams where I just don't really see them having a lot of success. They never strike me as the team to win the Super Bowl. But it's all about rebuilding the brand, because there was one time where I didn't really think the Chiefs would ever contend, and now they're a dynasty. Moving in at number eight, that's right, and they got number eight. That's the Falcons. They've been loading up on offense, so could we potentially see a little Dallas Turner, edge rusher from Alabama here? What do you think the Falcons do with this number eight pick?
I think it's definitely defense. That offense is probably going to be one of the most dangerous offenses in the NFL. Kyle Pitts is actually going to get his targets. Those wide receivers, Drake London's actually going to have a guy that can put the ball somewhere where he can catch it. They've added a couple of depth wide receivers. Mooney showed flashes of talent in Chicago. Who's the other? They got another little guy. The Cardinals guy, whatever his name was.
Marquise Brown?
No, he's a Chief.
Oh,
he joined
the Chiefs. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Rondell Moore. Gimmick guy. Yeah, so I think that's going to be a really explosive offense. Fantasy people take Kirk Cousins as one of the higher quarterbacks. I think he's gonna light it up like he did at the beginning of the year for us this year. But, yeah, I definitely think that's a D-line move for Atlanta.
I'm a little worried about Kirk Cousins, him and the Falcons and him and the Jets and Aaron Rodgers giving similar vibes the more you think about it. With the Jets loading up on wide receivers, you already have a good running back in your backfield, and then what happens on your second play of the opening drive? You tear your ankle or whatever, Achilles, whatever he broke. Hopefully not to Kirk.
Yeah. Nope.
All right, but honestly, you know, I might cheer for Kirk, but at the same time, Falcons, low-key our opposition. Low-key, the Vikings always be having to play the Falcons.
I'll always like Kirk Cousins. I've stood by that man way too much to not like him. But the 48 to 72 hours that he first was on the Atlanta Falcons, it really rubbed me the wrong way. And how he was acting and what he was saying, the chain stuff, that was our thing. Wasn't a Kirk Cousins thing. That was a Vikings group thing. You didn't have all these chains. It was our team that gave you the chains. It's like a bit. That's an us thing. The repeating, oh, I want to retire a Falcon, when you said I want to retire a Commander and I want to retire a Viking. You said those same things, bud. The one thing I do respect is it's not the dollar amount, it's what the dollars represent. Kwesi bailed on him two off seasons ago when he would have signed for like $30 million, like well below market value for like 3 years. But heaven forbid, we didn't want to give him the extra like year and a half. And now we may not even take a quarterback the year, and we're riding with Sam Darnold. In reality, this is like one foot in the grave for Kwesi. It's only year three. But he, other than his free agent moves have been like stellar. I have no quarrels with his free agency moves other than not re-signing Kirk. Drafting and the quarterback mismanagement is what may put him out of a job.
It is. It's pretty funny how we went from the best team in the league to now talking about who we're going to draft for our future franchise quarterback in a short amount of time, which is very unfortunate. Speaking of franchises looking to rebuild, we head to the number nine pick, and they're back because somehow the Panthers just don't know how to operate a franchise correctly, as the Bears get another top 10 pick, not even just a first round pick. They're in the top 10 twice. What are your thoughts on who they take? Wide receiver, defense player?
I think they're done. I mean, hell, they could add Bowers to pair with Cole Kmet. That is an entirely possible thing. But I think it is a strong defensive candidate. They're pretty loaded on offense. They have become a pretty good team in quite a small amount of time. I just don't trust Chicago to do the right thing at the time. They've had talent before and they've kind of pissed it away. So I think it's definitely a defensive player for the Chicago Bears.
Maybe Jared Verse, edge rusher from Florida State. He could potentially be an option.
As he's
a player that I have up on my list that could go in the top 10. And our final draftee for the top 10 is the Aaron Rodgers Jets. And I'm just trying to see where on this Jets team they could use some help. Do they have a tight end if Bowers falls to them? Do they have a tight end?
I think that's the first thing I was going to say is I think Bowers is the guy that they take. They had Tyler Conklin, but then they brought in someone last year who was technically their tight end one, but it was eh. So I think Bowers, if he falls to them, I think that's where Bowers ends up going, who would be pretty crazy with Rodgers throwing the football. I think that's a pretty good fit right there.
Hopefully Rodgers stays healthy. I am intrigued now to see how this Jets team winds up performing. And as we get to 11, you know, we have the Vikings here, and just as I've now said it, I honestly do not see us at 11 in this draft. It just feels like we're trading up into the top five, maybe.
Yeah, I have this weird sinking feeling that we're going to sit at 11 and Kwesi's going to do some stupid stuff and try and get his second round picks back and trade out of pick 23. I just have this sneaking feeling that that's what he's going to do. And as much as I hate that, truly hate that, I think that's what's going to happen. I think we panic and pull the trigger on a quarterback here. There's too many teams behind us to where if we don't take who our guy is now, he's not going to be there at 23, because we still got to deal with Denver, Vegas. There's another team back there that could use a quarterback. I think we got to take him now. And as much as I'm not a huge fan of it, I think they take Penix.
You think the Vikings are taking Penix?
I do.
Now, the thing for me is, I would have to get a Quinn Ewers or Bo Nix to be really upset. You know, I don't know too much about Michael Penix, you know, to like not want to draft him. All I know is that Washington, I think, almost went undefeated or did go undefeated this season. I can't remember.
So, I mean, they were in the national championship game, but they kind of got blown out by a real football team.
They were in the Natty?
Yeah.
Who'd they play?
Wasn't it Ohio? No, it wasn't Michigan.
Oh, yes. I was thinking of when TCU was in it last year and got absolutely destroyed. Because they're both purple. My bad. But, yeah, you know, I don't know what the Vikings are going to do, but if we're still here at 11, we best be careful, because number 12 is the Broncos, number 13 is the Raiders. Those two teams are taking quarterbacks. What are you doing? What are you doing for those franchises?
I mean, there's another guy. It's the Tennessee. I think it's Tennessee Holden, I think is his name. Big arm. I think that's his last name.
I've never Tennessee Holden. I've never heard of him.
Well, Tennessee's quarterback, Holden.
Oh, Hendon?
Yeah. No, that was
Hendon Hooker?
No, he went to, or was it?
I honestly don't know who this person is.
He made like headlines by he threw really hard at the combine.
I suppose I've really looked at the combine. I did see that they were praising JJ McCarthy and that he was maybe gonna go higher because of that.
Yeah, I mean, I've started to hear things now about CJ Stroud, or not CJ Stroud, Spencer Rattler. The Vikings should take Spencer Rattler, and I was like, oh my god.
I don't know who you're talking about. He's not even in the top 10 for the PFF's top 10 quarterbacks in the draft, but hey, there's always that sleeper quarterback that people are like, oh wait, he wasn't on our radar, and they draft him.
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, I'm not saying he was like a top guy, but I just remember seeing him at his pro day and then the combine. He threw like a football. It was like 69 miles per hour or something. It was he ripped it. So, wow. Yeah. Say, who knows?
I mean, you also have Jordan Travis from Florida State. I'm sure he's gonna be on there. Everyone's radar. I got other names here. Michael Pratt from Tulane, Austin Reed from Western Kentucky, and Bo Nix will still probably be available by the time 12 and 13 roll around.
Yeah, I think Bo probably goes in one of those. I think he's got the talent. I like him. Would I take him? Probably not, but I don't know. We'll see. If we took like an edge rusher at 11 and then he was still there at 23, I'd take Bo Nix at this point. It's
absolutely. I don't know. Something tells me Michael Penix is going to the Broncos. I don't know why. I can just picture him in some orange for some reason. I don't know. I just feel like the Vikings are taking JJ or Drake. It feels like that's our destiny.
I don't think we'll trade up. That's the issue. I just don't think – I think we'll either not want to cough up enough or we just won't do it, and we'll play it safe like we always do, and it kind of is unfortunate.
All righty. 14 is the Saints. That's the final one we're going to specifically talk about in the order. Saints, Derek Carr, I believe, is coming back for the Saints team. But they just feel like they've set themselves up as just a team that won't finish in the bottom, won't finish in the top. They're going to finish in the bottom middle. So I don't even know what they need.
If yeah.
New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, and I just looked it up. It's Joe Milton is what I was thinking of, not Holden or whoever I said.
So you were making up some new quarterback that's going to be
there. I totally thought that was his name. But yeah, the Saints are interesting. Obviously, quarterback is some. Derek Carr really struggled last year. I'd even see them taking a running back too, because Alvin Kamara is getting a little old. And unless they had some rookie last year who was okay, he wasn't great.
The Saints?
He was some like fourth.
See behind Jamal.
When Jamal was hurt, he played a little bit. I kind of forgot they got Jamal, but yeah. Jamal is like, eh. But I could see them going defense too. I think their secondary and linebackers could use some help. Their D line wasn't awful, but you can always use another good defensive lineman. It's same with offensive line. So Saints are one of those weird teams for sure.
Man, I could, you know, not neither of us big Saints fans in general. So, I mean, can honestly care less what they do. Just going off of prospects right now, Cooper DeJean from Iowa, cornerback. Where's he landed? Is he going in the first round? Do you have any idea? What teams need a cornerback? First white cornerback?
That's another one of those positions. You can never have too many good cornerbacks in the NFL. I'd love to see him in a Vikings uniform. He's pretty sick. I wouldn't mind it.
At 23, maybe?
If he falls that far, if we don't trade out and he's there at 23, okay, take him. But I feel like there's going to be one of those like higher draft picking teams that will probably snag him at like 21, 20, 19, somewhere in that range. The only thing that's having him fall is he got hurt, I think, at the end of this season, and he's supposedly just recently been cleared to come back to football drills. So we'll see.
Yep. As for running backs, we got a couple running backs here for the top 10. You got Jonathan Brooks from Texas, Jalen Wright from Tennessee, Blake Corum from Michigan, the big name, Blake Corum, national champion, Bucky Irving from Oregon, and number 5, Trey Benson, Florida State. Which teams are you feeling are going to be drafting running backs in this draft?
I can still see, obviously we talked about it at 5, but I can see the Chargers drafting a running back as well. They got rid of Eckler.
Eckler's gone.
Yeah, he's a commander now. And they signed like the whole Ravens backfield. I mean, they got Gus Edwards and the other guy. I don't remember what his name was off the top of my head. There's another Ravens guy that they signed.
Who was it?
Yeah, J.K. Dobbins. J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards are on the team now. So they could obviously use another good running back. I guess the Chiefs got Pacheco. Houston got Mixon now. So running backs are one of those weird positions where, I mean, Tennessee could even take one too because they lost Derrick Henry.
I could see that. Maybe Cowboys at 24 because isn't Pollard gone?
Yep, he's a Titan. Oh, yeah, he's a Titan, isn't he?
Wow, he is. Maybe I got to go back to my Titan statement. You know, I forgot, you know, they added Pollard, but Cowboys, I could definitely see them taking someone. Maybe, gosh, that's just the Bills. Maybe Bills can take a running back.
Yeah. Someone to pair with James Cook. I could see that for sure.
Oh, James Cook. Maybe the Bills were looking at a wide receiver down there in the draft.
I think that's probably where they look. Just because they need someone now at this point.
Actually, you know, that brings me, Bengals could also use a running back without Mixon.
Yeah, there's that, was it Brown was his last name, who made like a couple long screen catches and everyone was like hyping him up for some random reason. There was some random rookie or second year guy that made some plays for the Bengals yesterday. So hopefully, I mean, not that I really care what the Bengals do, but they don't like hype him up to think he's a starting running back. So I can definitely see the Bengals taking a running back.
Absolutely. And this has been a super fun podcast, Dane, but I always like to end these episodes with a very good take from you. You know, you are a hardcore Vikings fan. So to round this off, this will be the final thing we talk about. What players will you be very mad if the Vikings draft? You've expressed a bit, but who is what player is Roger Goodell saying on the microphone that you are taking a remote and just throwing it at your TV, burning your jersey? Who's on your don't draft for the Vikings?
First off, I think even before we go to the don't draft, if we trade out of the 11th pick, like trade back like four or five spots to get more picks, I'm going to be livid for that.
That'd be insane. That would just break everything.
And let's be real. That's something our front office would do, and I can't stand that. As I've kind of grown to it, 3 months ago, if we drafted Penix, I would have turned the draft off and, like, stared at a wall. Wasn't a huge – he's kind of grown on me. Whatever. I wouldn't hate – if we got, like, one of those C-tier quarterbacks, like the Ewers, the Joe Milton, the Bo Nix is like borderline. He's kind of got that Justin Herbert talent.
Yeah.
If it builds up to that, not to the extent of Justin Herbert, but he's kind of a dog. I kind of like him. So if we reach for a quarterback, that's kind of the biggest thing. If we panic, or if we take another offensive lineman, if we take an offensive lineman or a wide receiver, what's the point?
No way, like wide receiver. I mean, because we somehow have JJ again this year, at least to start the year. And you know, we got Jordan Addison for the foreseeable future, but you know, the offensive tackles, that really would upset me. Because
I agree.
I hate to be rude, but there's no excitement first off. And I think, you know, obviously you have to build a good team, but to build excitement, you know, to make money for the fans, that's also a goal of the franchise. And picking up a big QB, that always generates a lot of hype. A lot of hype.
I mean, think about it. When's the last time we've had, like, a rookie quarterback on this team that we look forward to starting?
Not my lifetime.
We really haven't. Yeah. I mean, maybe you can – I guess, again, not in our lifetime, but Culpepper. I don't remember if we – drafted him as a rookie and expected him to start playing right away. I don't know. There's a lot. Tavares Jackson, maybe.
I don't even know who that is.
You know who Tavares Jackson is?
Tavares Jackson. With a T?
Never mind. Yes, we're fine.
It's, escaping my
he
mind.
He was he was the quarterback before Favre.
But if you're a Bears fan, are you excited for Caleb Williams?
I think you're excited in general. I mean, Caleb Williams, whoever you're going to take at nine, that offense, DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Komet, if you add another guy in the draft that you can pair with them, they've got a pretty exciting team. So I would be excited to be them. Will that come to fruition? I don't know, because they said Justin Fields was MVP last year. So who knows?
I don't know. I don't know. We may be back in a month to do a little post draft analysis or something, because just anything can happen. Anything can happen in this draft specifically.
100%,
without a doubt. Dane, do you have any other topics you want to go over? Any other thoughts you have for this episode?
You know, not off the top of my head. I think we covered a lot of the big ones.
I think we did too. And I think the reason that a lot of people are skeptical about who the Vikings should take is just, I mentioned it with the Timberwolves, Minnesota has a bad luck stigma. And if this player doesn't work out, you know, they're just going to give up on the franchise. And we'll end up being the Panthers, who you can buy a ticket in the nosebleeds for a dollar, under a dollar. I'm pretty sure that was a thing this past season.
Yeah. I mean, luckily, unlike them, we're a pretty good fan base where we sell out regardless of how bad we are almost every home game. So I don't know if that will ever be the case, but there's a real possibility this is a building block year, to say the least.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The NFL draft going down April 26th. So that's coming up in, gosh darn, just about 17 days. 17 days, I think. Something like that. All righty, Dane, why don't you give us one final thought? Thank you, of course, for your time here on the podcast. Always appreciated. This is not the first and this is not the last time we'll be doing this, but give the people something to ponder, something mysterious.
Something to keep going. It does get the people going. Let me tell you that one. It's provocative, and it gets the people going. If you know, you know.
Alrighty, but my man Dane referencing Kanye. Thank you so much, Dane, for joining us. My favorite UND school member and my future pilot one day. Thank you, everyone, for joining us here on the Surprise Jet Podcast, and I will make sure to catch you all next time. Have a good one.